I want to speak with you just a few minutes about a topic, when love was born. When love was born, in Luke chapter 2, it said, "And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, I want to ask you a question here, a thought-provoking question. How do you think the Father, I like to refer to our Daddy in heaven, how do you think the Daddy felt in heaven as he looked at his son being born as a little baby? Now keep in mind, Jesus had always been with the Father in the past. He had to come as a human, fully human, to pay the price for our sins. So he had to become human. Jesus didn't just come into existence on Christmas morning a little over 2,000 years ago. He's always been with the Father, but he came through Mary and was born as a little baby. So the question was, how do you think the Father in heaven felt about his only son being born as a baby? This is going to fall way short of what the Father might have thought about the baby, but I want you to see this on the screen. This is just a, like I say, how can you put into words what the Father thought about his son? The eyes of love saw, talking about God, saw Jesus as precious, as an infinite beauty, and of eternal value. And I got to thinking about that question, how does the Father see you? Well, before we leave here today, you're going to understand something very important, that He sees you the same way as He looked upon that baby, Jesus. In eternity past, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saw you as precious, saw you as infinite beauty and of eternal value. Now, Vicki and you that have worked in the Pregnancy Resource Center, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18, has been used a lot to talk about the sanctity of life, is to help people understand that even before you were born and even before you were ever conceived, God already knew you. He already saw you. So we use those verses to try to help people see that even though the baby is unborn, that there is such a value there that is placed on that child by the Father. And today, I want to give you a twist on these verses. As we read these verses, now I want you to you're going to have to change up a little bit with me, and I'm going to change the scripture a little bit. So, there'll be the religious crowd that'll say, "Whoa now. There's woe to those who change the Bible," right? I'm not changing the Bible. I'm just going to change a few pronouns, and you're going to understand why. I want you to picture, as we read these verses in Psalm 139, picture this as the Father in heaven looking upon and describing His Son, Jesus, okay? Now, as I said, I'm going to try to do this. I was going to write it out. Could we see that first slide there, or the second slide? Psalm 139, look at this. I'm going to personalize this from God, okay? "For I formed you," He's talking about Jesus, "I formed you and your inward parts. I wove you in your mother's womb. I will give thanks." He's going to thank Himself, okay? "I will give thanks for you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wondrous are my works, and my soul knows it very well." Could you picture the Father saying those words to baby Jesus? Wouldn't that be appropriate? The answer is yes. I'll help you with the tough ones. All right, now hang with me. Now I want you to stop a moment. If you could see the Father saying that to the Son, really King David, who wrote Psalm 139, is writing this about himself. Now keep in mind, you may say, "Well, yeah, but David was a man after God's own heart. David was a murderer. David committed adultery. David did some terrible things." But you see, David looked past what he did, and he saw God for how God saw him. Now that's what this church is all about, is helping you see your identity. Quit looking at your sins and look at the Father, and look at the Son, and look at the Holy Spirit. But David was writing this about himself. So think about this. The Father says this about His Son. We've agreed that He could have said that, and I believe He did. David says this about himself. The Holy Spirit, who wrote these verses through King David, now, guess what, is saying that about you. David didn't have a market on all of God's love and what he thought about him, right? Now, if you're going to get this, there might be some shouting in your heart, and I'm okay if it comes out of your mouth. That's okay. I know we're not Pentecostal around here, but we can shake it up a little bit every now and then. Jesus, God the Father, and Holy Spirit puts you on the same level as Jesus Christ. I'm not going to read that because I've preached it a lot lately, but for you that are new, John chapter 17, verse number 23, Jesus is known as the priestly prayer of Jesus. Jesus was praying for us. He was praying for those currently in his time. But he said this, he said, Father, you have loved them, talking about you and me, humanity, in the same way as you have loved me. Now put yourself in the same category as Jesus Christ. The religious crowd would say, that's blasphemy. God says it, I didn't say it. I'm thankful I'm not making this up. God puts us on the same level as he puts his son. He loves us in the same way. The Greek word says, in the same way. Look it up. Look up the study of this out, John 17, verse number 23. Now, with that understanding, I want us to read these verses again, okay? So we're going to start over with the slide that's up here. I want you to say this with me, okay? And this is about you. Some of you say, well, I don't think that's talking about me. Can I get real with you a second? You need to say it about yourself. I don't care if you believe it or not right now, deep down, just begin to say it anyway. It'll begin to be yours if you'll say it. So say this with me, this verses. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. All right, I'm not hearing anybody speak. Speak it out loud, will you? Okay, start over. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, love this. He says, now, God, you're pretty awesome. You made me. He's describing himself. And then look at what he said. Now, say this with me. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. David wasn't just saying it with his mouth. He was saying it with his heart, his very soul. He understood something that most Christians don't understand. And that's the value that God places on you and me. Now, let's look at verses 15 to 16. It says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Check out these next two verses, verses 17 and 18. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? David's talking to God, asking this question. How many times have you ever asked this question? Y'all are thinking God's looking down on you because you can't seem to get your behavior right. I know. I've been where you are. He's not, by the way. You need to ask God in just casual conversation. Say, God, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be even numbered. See, David knew the answer before the answer was actually given. He said, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. So the question was asked, how precious are the Father's thoughts about Jesus? That's the question I want to pose. They outnumber the grains of sand. Would you agree? An infinite God that can love in an infinite way with agape-type love, only a God kind of agape love, you can't describe it. How precious are the thoughts about Jesus? Now the question comes back where we get real. How precious are the thoughts of the Father about you? Now if you can't answer this, I'm going to fail every one of you. Somebody answer me. Same as Jesus. They outnumber the grains of sand. David said that about himself. God's saying that about Jesus. And guess what? You need to be saying that about yourself. What else could God do beside tell you that he's got so many thoughts about you they cannot even be numbered? It's one thing to say something to somebody. You know, I can say all day I love you, but I never show it. I never spend time with you. You know, we can say we love our kids. You know how kids spell love? T-I-M-E. Right? You've heard that before. It's very true. What could God the Father do to really show us his love besides just telling us? He could show us, couldn't he? He could demonstrate it. How would God, just forget what he did for a moment, what could God come up with, what could God do to show you how much he loves you? Put it on a personal level. You that have children, what could you do to show somebody else? What would be the greatest sacrifice that you could do to show somebody? And you wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't either. You know what that would be? To give up your son. You would give up your life. Many of you would. I hope I would. I wouldn't give up my boy or my daughters for you to show you how much I love you. I just wouldn't. And if you're saying you would, Keith and Vicky, put lying on subjects. You wouldn't give up your children, would you? To show somebody else how much you love them? But that's exactly what God did. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I love this. But God showed, some versions say, he demonstrated his great love. Don't you love that? It didn't say just love, casually. No, great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God didn't wait till you got your act together to just show you how much he loved you, did he? You see, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, humanity fell. We were born into sin. Our humanity was born into sin. Now I want you to watch this. Because of He loved us so much, Jesus came and paid the price for our sins. He removed humanity's sin. Now listen to me. You weren't taught this, some of you that were raised in church. He removed your sins, past, present, and future, before you were ever born. Some of you are looking kind of rough, but you're not 2,000 years old. Okay? Think about this. This didn't happen at the moment you by faith believed in Jesus Christ. That's what I used to think. Study Scripture out carefully. You'll find that humanity was taken to the cross. Plenty of verses I can point you to them. It happened. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's walking in it. It doesn't mean everybody's a Christian. It doesn't mean everybody's benefiting from it. But the work has already been done. Jesus is not jumping back on the cross and going to the grave every time a person by faith believes in him. No, he's already done that. He removed your sins, past, present, and future, from us. He took all of humanity to the cross. He buried all of humanity in the grave. We were raised with him, a new creation in Christ. This is the greatest form of love that anyone or any being could ever do or ever give. He did it all. There's nothing left to do but simply believe it and walk in it. I mean, you can't add to the finished work of the cross. When some denominations or some Christian sect, they say, oh yes, by faith believing, but if you're not baptized, and if you don't do this, and you don't do that, and there's no repentance, and so therefore they look at repentance as changing of behavior, then no, they couldn't be counted in this. Yes, they can, because they were counted in it before they even never knew it. Before they were ever born. Folks, this is called the gospel. Are you listening? The gospel is, in translated, is good news. There's no bad news in good news. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we celebrate with communion. Jesus taught us to remember this great love in Luke chapter 22, verse number 19. And as I'm about to read this, I want you to think, as we play a song, and I want you to rise and come by and get a cup of juice and a piece of bread. And don't partake of it yet. I'd like for us to do that together, if that's okay. But I have been taught in my past that, well, I'm not worthy. And if I partake, First or Second Corinthians 11, can't remember if it's First or Second Corinthians, talks about examine yourself. That's not what that means. Folks, examine Jesus. Is Jesus worthy? Then guess what? He made you worthy. So drop all that religious nonsense also. You are worthy not by anything you do or don't do. You are worthy because of the shed blood and the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, period. Now I'm telling you, you say, preacher, you talk like this, we'll just go out and sin and enjoy it. No, we're doing that anyway. This will help change you. I'm telling you. I've had people say, preacher, I started believing this even though I was reluctant. My religious past was saying, no, that can't be true. That ain't what I was taught. But I began to believe it, and it helped me overcome some sin in my life. When you blow it and you mess up in your life, and we do every day, and you understand that that sin has already been dealt with on the cross, Jesus has said, I am choosing not to remember that sin and hold it against you any longer. That's exactly what His Word said. Psalm, even pointing to what was going to happen on the cross, said, I have removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. You need to believe that when you blow it. Come boldly to the throne of grace and claim that and say, God, you saw that sin too. And I'm going to get my eyes off of my mess up. And I'm going to get it back on the Savior. God, thank you. You've done it for that sin also. I usually play this song about every time. I just love it so much. But it's entitled Remembrance. And as you come around, if you'll, as I say, pick up a piece of bread. And we'll start on this side. And y'all, if you'll circle around, you'll pick up the bread and juice and kind of go this way. And go back to your seat. And just enjoy the song, though. Try not to be distracted by all that's going on, but listen to the words of this song, and we'll come back and partake together. The book of Luke, chapter 22, the Bible says that he took some bread, and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke it into pieces, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I have a little quote, or it's a form of a prayer that I would like for you to say with me, if you would, before we partake. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my strength, healing, and provision. Thank you that by your stripes and by your beatings I am healed. By faith I believe and receive. Would you partake? And in the next verse in Luke chapter 22, verse number 20, and after supper he took another cup of wine and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Now I want to say something a moment here. Old covenant was about you do your part, God's going to bless. You do your part, now God will act. The new covenant changed everything. And I wasn't taught a lot about this in my previous life until I began to study what this new covenant was all about. This new covenant was a covenant that was made between God and the Son, between the Trinity. And that's what he's saying here. Notice again, it says, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. But it was made between God and Jesus, but it was made for us. You see, no longer do we perform now to receive God's blessings. We have His blessings. Wow. So this gets you off the religious treadmill. This cup is the new covenant between God and His people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Aren't you glad you didn't have to sacrifice yourself? With my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Another prayer as you hold up the cup. Say it with me. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant of grace. Your blood has brought me forgiveness of sins and washed me from every sin. I thank you that through your blood I have become the righteousness of God. Thank you for giving me not only eternal life, but an abundant life right now. Let's partake together. As our closing song and closing thought, there's a song that's entitled, when love was born. And you notice I said in the beginning I wanted to talk about when love was born. And I got that idea from this particular song. And listen carefully to the words. Worship the Lord any way you see fit. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to raise your hand, raise your hand. If you want to humble yourself by kneeling, you do that. But just enjoy Jesus. And may you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Starlight shines, the night is still. Shepherds watching from a hill. Close my eyes, see the night when love's born. A perfect child gently wakes, a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Close my eyes.